Welcome to Resurrection Camp Meeting 2021, live from Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, let's go live to Family Worship Center as this service begins.
Welcome, TV audience, and God bless you for joining in. Let's give them a hand for tuning in. Welcome to the afternoon session of Camp Meeting 2021, and we're so glad to be here. Before I start, I just want to thank every one of you. For praying for me when I had the COVID. You know, heaven wouldn't have been a bad deal. But my wife had a little bit to say about that. And was in the hospital, you know, like for 30 days. Recovery was 3 or 4 months. But they said it should have been longer. I should have been in the hospital for 2 months, only in for 1 month. They said the recovery should have been 7 months, and I'm here right now because I'm not even in the 7th month. And I thank the Lord for your prayers. It's the prayers of the saints that did it. Somebody said, well, what about the medicine? I have no clue what they did because I really wasn't focused on that. I was focused on what the Lord could do. And y'all absolutely prayed. And what I kept hearing in my spirit, I would get texts and I would hear, we're praying for you. We're standing in the gap. And what the Lord showed me through all that was that the only proper way that you can stand in the gap is with the message of the cross. Because if you don't have the message of the cross, you cannot properly seal the opposition that's coming against you because it can leak out. But when that message of the cross, you're standing in the gap for any situation, it seals it and nothing can penetrate the message of the cross and that message. And that's the difference. And I'm just so glad for your prayer. I got cards and because I'm not an email kind of guy. The ministry knows that. I'm old school. I go mail. I don't email. And I just thank the Lord that y'all prayed for me, and I thank the Lord that you stood in the gap and praying. Just have to tell you one funny story. The first week that I was in the hospital, I really didn't know where I was because it affected me that way. And I decided that I wanted to go home. I was delirious. So I told the doctor and the nurse, I said, I'm going home. They said, you're going to have to go home on your own risk because we're not going to check you out. You're going to have to get out and you're going to sign yourself out. And if you get out, you're not going to make it because we're not going to give you a wheelchair. And you're not going to make it to the door because you'll lose oxygen and you'll die right here in the hallway. I said, well, I'm still leaving. I called my wife and she's here right over there. That's my wife over there, Trudy. Stand up. So I called my wife. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I called my wife and said, come get me. They're not taking care of me, so I ain't staying. I'm coming home. And I made her so upset, she started crying. She came and was in the parking lot of the hospital. Well, I had my cell phone on my chest. I'm talking to the doctor and two nurses. And my phone vibrated, and I looked, and it said, well, I always call either Pastor Donnie or Brother Donnie. It said, Donnie, on my phone. I went, Donnie? Calling at 5 o'clock in the morning? So I went, hello? And Brother Donnie style, stay put, and hung up. I put the phone down and I said, Doc, what do I got to do to get better? He said, what kind of phone call was that? I said, it was from my pastor. So thank the Lord for that. And thank you for your cards and letters and everything. And just God bless you for doing that because that made the difference. And thank the Lord. And I just want to honor Brother Swagger. Thank you for being here, Brother Swagger. Appreciate it. Psalms 23, if you would go with me in the scriptures. Very familiar verses of scripture. And we all know, you know, the Psalms 23. And we find out with David, who wrote the Psalms, he was considered, they called him like the chief shepherd. He was the shepherd king, they called him. But when David writes this Psalms, he's really not talking as a shepherd, but he's talking as a sheep about his shepherd. And so it takes a different approach as a shepherd. He's now going to be saying to us, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's, the way it's written, and we're not going to just going to read that one line. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's what I talk. That's what I want to minister to you about tonight. Today, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, you have done all things for us, and all we have to do is place our faith in what you've done for us. We're asking you, Lord God, to anoint us, to bring forth your word, anoint the ears to hear what the Spirit would be saying to us. We honor you and bless you. Thank you for the camp meeting, Lord. Thank you for the lives that are being touched, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. When we leave here, we won't be the same, but we'll know you more and know you in a greater degree. And we thank you for that. We honor you and bless your name and thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right there on that one little verse of scripture, what I want you to do, the Lord is my shepherd. In that word, my, right there, just remember to put your name there. The Lord is Dale's shepherd. Put your name there. When you start talking about the Lord being my shepherd, you have to begin to look at and understand and see, really, what does a shepherd do? What is the shepherd's responsibility? There are some good shepherds, and there are some bad shepherds. Satan is a bad shepherd. All he does is steal, kill, and destroy. All he wants to do is put us in bondage, bring issues to us, and do all kind of things to us. But the good shepherd, Jesus, our shepherd, is a good shepherd. Now, what is the characteristics of a good shepherd, and how does all this work out? First of all, he paid a price with his blood to purchase us. See, shepherds, to truly own something, he purchased that. So a shepherd, and if you had a shepherd or a flock of sheep, the shepherd of that farm has to go out and purchase sheep. And once he purchases those sheep, he takes on a responsibility, fully responsible for everything that sheep needs. Everything. The sheep has to depend on that shepherd. That shepherd has to lead them, has to do everything, and the sheep just depends on that shepherd. There are some good shepherds, and there are some good shepherds that are not so good. But we have a good shepherd. So one of the things, how did he purchase us? As we know, he purchased us by his blood. We don't belong to ourselves. He purchased us by his blood. He shed his blood on Calvary, that we that were astray, that we that were wandering off in sin and all types of sins and difficulties and situations, he said, you know what? I'm going to go buy me some sheep. So he went to the cross with all the wealth that heaven offered. He owns the whole entire planet. He owns all the galaxies. He owned some a city of gold, everything, the much value that God has, all that has not had enough value to purchase you. The only thing that had the greatest enough value to purchase you and I was what he did on the cross. That was the greatest value. That is the greatest value. So as a shepherd, what does the shepherd do after he purchases us? Because you've been purchased. That's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to go tell everybody, hey, you know what? Jesus is my shepherd. I want to go over here and say, you know what? The Lord is Dale's shepherd. I'm proud of that. You know, if the sheep are taught, if they could talk, they could do that to each other, they're probably out there in that field saying, man, we got a good shepherd. He takes care of us. Man, everywhere I, you know what? Every time I'm thirsty, he knows right where to bring me. Every time I'm hungry, he's looking for a good place for me to eat. Every time I'm sick, he takes care of me. I don't have to depend on anything that I can do it myself. All I got to do is have faith and trust to know that whatever I need, whatever I'm going through, whatever difficulty I'm going through, my good shepherd will take care of me. Because one of the responsibilities of the good shepherd, that he cares for us, he takes care of our need, takes care of our difficulties, brings us life and life abundantly. Because one of the characteristics of a good shepherd, that he cares. He cares for you. He knows right where you are. I'm not going to say I had a dream, but when I was in the hospital, I was sitting in the chair. They had me set up in the chair. And I was sitting there, just resting. It was about the third week. And I looked over, and I almost sensed that I saw someone laying in the bed where I lay at. And the Lord spoke to my heart at that moment and said, I'm laying here taking your stuff that you can sit there and take my stuff. I took your sickness. I took that disease. I took that infirmity. I took that COVID. I took it into my body, and it came through my body that you can be healed. Because he cares for us. He cares for us. You don't have to worry about anything. If I'm a sheep, I'm looking for them to come up in the morning, coming out of the farmhouse, the little sheep looking around, they laying, getting ready, all of a sudden they hear a door open at the farm. He's looking, he didn't even come out. We're about ready to go have lunch, breakfast. Because the shepherd's always early and he's always on time. He'll come out and the shepherd will find those sheep somewhere to drink at. Get him nourishment because he cares for us. You don't have to worry about anything. He cares for you. Casting all our care upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you. What does a good shepherd do? He protects us. You know, one of the things that Satan would love to do is try to isolate you from the flock. Okay, if he can isolate you and pin you in somewhere to get you away from the flock, you're prey. Come on. But because our shepherd protects us, he has that staff, which is the cross. And that cross has some characteristics that he does and has. And one thing he does with that, that he knows how to guide us with it. With the cross. Guide us in. He guides us in. It's also a staff. The cross is also a place where he directs us. But also, it's a weapon. against the enemy. When the enemy comes, see, the shepherd has a clearer view of the terrain. He can see the terrain clearer than a sheep. His eyes can gaze across the terrain and know where the danger is. The eyes of the shepherd is looking around and way ahead of us. He knows exactly the right path because he's already made that path for us. He knows exactly where the little cliff will be over here. We may be getting close to that edge, and we may be getting close, and but the shepherd's already been there, and he knows exactly how close he can guide you, even though you're not going to go over the cliff because he's already walked that path. So he knows how to protect us and knows the exact path we need because he's already walked the terrain for us and walked it ahead of us and knows exactly what we got, what we need, and what we need in our life because he's a great shepherd. Amen? A great shepherd. He protects us. He guides us. He knows how to deal with the enemy because he dealt with the enemy already. We just have to cast our care upon him because he protects us. You know, somebody was asking a question to me here a few weeks ago. Said, are you worried what's going on in the world? I said, I'll make a deal with you. When God starts worrying, I will. Yeah. When I get the memo that he's worried, I'm going to get worried. Because I think I read somewhere in Isaiah chapter 6 that on the year King Uzziah died, in other words, when it got at the worst, I also, that big old word spelled big, also saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up above every circumstance and difficulty and situation. And he's sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Never lost a battle, never lost a situation. He knows the pathway. He protects, he cares, he guides, he leads us. Hallelujah. What are you worried about? It don't matter. A dog could be the president. We'd be all right. Don't get me there. I'm trying to be nice today. I don't have the ability, like Brother Donnie, to hold it in. I'm going to cage it. I just give it to you. I know, you know, like I had a guy in my church. His former life, he was with the mafia. Yeah. Showed up because I met him on the street. Invited him to come. He said, I can't come to church. I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I looked at him and I said, you worried about that? And he said, yes. I said, well, you didn't come to church. Yeah, because if you did blaspheme, you wouldn't be worried that you did. It's not rocket science. So he came, got saved, background mafia. So I'm at the sound booth one day, working on some things. He come up to me and said, hey. I said, hey. Said, I kind of heard there's some people in this church here giving you a rough time. Oh, yeah. I said, well, that just comes with the territory. He said, well, that may be the case, but I know some people. I said, well, brother, we don't do that around here, but let me pray about it. Woo! Not only does he purchased us, which means he took full responsibility for us. Not only does he care for us, he protects us, but he counts. God can count. Now, everybody I've ever heard preach the message on the lost sheep, the one that strayed in the 99. The Lord dropped this in my spirit, and I said, well, I never thought that before. I'm sure Brother Gray has, Brother Spafford, even Brother Brown probably. But we always focused on the one. Well, how did he know it was missing? Unless when he comes out every day and go, one, two, three. Well, we got 12 of them missing today. Gotta go get them. So he counts you all the time, and he knows exactly where you are all the time. If he knows one's missing, that way he knows exactly how many's in the fold, how many should be in the fold, and then one of them's not in the fold, he knows it. So why he's counting you? He's counting you because he knows that he's going to take care of you, so he wants to make sure you're there. He cares just as much for the not. There's more effort to go get the one, of course, but he still counts. Because right now, some of you may just try to get missing in action. He'll count, say, okay. James over there from Texas, God help us. Texas Houston pastor, James missing. He'll know you by name. He'll say, James missing, we got to go look for him. But he makes sure the 99 is taken care of. Because he knows everything you're facing, everything you're going through, everything that you're facing, he counts and knows where you are. Not only does he purchased us, and I repeat myself, taking the full responsibility of you. This is a bad scenario, but it's the only best one I can come up with. When you get incarcerated, everything that you face, they got to take care of. You don't got to think for yourself. You don't have to know what to dress, what to wear. You don't get in your closet in prison and say, I think I'll wear the blue pinstripe today. No. They dress you, they clothe you, they feed you, they tell you when to eat. Full 100%. You got medical condition, they bring you to the hospital, give you your medicine. They take full responsibility for you. Don't you think that the Lord can do that a little bit better? Don't you think he can? He takes full responsibility for you. He purchased us, cares for us, protects us, counts. And when we come to him, we can be at rest. Rest assured that because he's our shepherd, that we can be at rest. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be aggravated. We don't have to be in torment. We can be at complete rest because he's our shepherd. Go with me to Colossians. Chapter 1. I think a lot of times we kind of underestimate or make God too small. I think I will repeat that. Let me just put it like this. If we really believe that God answers prayer, why don't we pray about everything? Well, I'll handle that first, and then when I make a mess of it, then I'll chime in and pray. Why not pray about it to begin with? Save a lot of the hassle. If we really believe God answered prayer, we would pray about everything all the time. Take it to God immediately. Take it to God immediately. We would pray. So let me just kind of give you a description of who that shepherd really is and his characteristics. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, I'm sorry, go to 15. I was trying to get ahead of myself. Verse 15 says, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. That's our shepherd. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That is our shepherd. And he is before all things. That is our shepherd that wants to take care of us. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, our shepherd, should all fullness dwell. And how did he become our shepherd? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, that is our shepherd. And we can absolutely depend on him and know that he's capable and able to take care of us. He's our shepherd. He paid a great price to own us. He paid it with his blood to own us. We don't belong to ourselves no more. When we had ourselves, we made it a mess. Think where you were. We made a mess of ourselves. But he loved us. You know, God loves with all the information. Let me repeat that for you, really let that sink in. God loves you with all the information. He knows you're going to do something before you're going to do it. But he still loves you. Because he loves you eternal. That does not change. Our shepherd. Don't make him too small. He cares for you. He paid a great price. For us, cast our care on him. He cares for us. He gives us rest. What I learned of that COVID, you know, Brother Swagger made a statement right here. Said the greatest thing about the COVID, that the COVID will bring you down, is fear. Fear. And all the other things. Fear grips in. Every time fear comes in, its first cousin, doubt, comes in. You're laying in the bed at night, and all of a sudden you hear some noise outside. What's the first thing you say? I wonder if I locked the door. Or like in my case, when I hear noise, I grab my wife and say, honey, go see what's going on. Because I know when she goes, the little chihuahua is going right behind her. 4 foot, like, I'm short. Oh, by the way, I got to say this. I want to say hello to my dad and mom. They're watching right now. My daddy's 90. My mama's 86. And they first heard Brother Swagger preach, when I said a while ago, in 1958. Brother Swagger was 2 then. And they never forgot it. And our family, because of this man of God being led by God, giving himself to the world, my family was forever changed. My daddy was a drunk, Catholic church, and instantly when he got saved, gave his heart to the Lord, and the first evangelist, he didn't even know the word evangelist existed. The first evangelist he ever heard was that Brother Swagger right there, and we have never been the same. But my daddy, I went to visit my dad. He has Alzheimer's. And I went to visit him last Sunday. That's why I wore this shirt again today. I was sitting with my dad, and I stood up. And my 90-year-old daddy stood up and said, "Son, you look taller when you got a striped shirt like this." He said, "Don't wear none this way because you'll look fatter. Wear them long ways." I said, "Are you fixing to go to New York to be a fashion consultant here at 90 years old?" So I love you, Mom, Dad. Thank you. My brother just told me he had a little newsflash, and I want to read it real quick. I know this is out of order, but I just want to kind of end it right here. Got a report here, and then I'm going to scare Brother Spraggett. We're going to sing a little song after. And I'm not going to sing "Happy Birthday," I promise you. If I knew he was coming, I would have had that song here. I'm going to tell you right now. No. Got a report. About a little bit over 2,000 years ago, there was a camp meeting. They had a day speaker and a night speaker. Let me get over here and read it. This report. It was in the city of Paradise. The morning speaker, we really never got his name on the billboard, but the only thing we got from it that his name was Thief. And he was invited by the night speaker. It was in Paradise, and they were preaching a message. And the night speaker was the one we're talking about, who is the Lord, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Resurrection, the Provider, the Giver of Life, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Everlasting Father, first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. That was the first camp meeting. Had an altar call, and everybody left. Came, got out, got saved, and got out. The camp meeting continues. It never stopped. Now we're in camp meeting 2021, right here at Family Worship Center. And they're still getting delivered, still getting set free, and still getting full of the Holy Spirit. But and then it continues. But there's fixing to be another one, date not known by us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of triumph. And we, those that are dead, shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up with them in the cloud and shall ever be with the Lord forever. And the only way you can get to that camp meeting is through the blood and get on a plane and fly out. And the end date for the camp meeting is called eternity. It's never going to stop, never going to end. We just continue it from here to the next level and the next level and the next level and the next level and the next level. Then we're going to fly out of here. The trumpet is going to sound for the greatest, vast majority of everybody there, camp meeting that will never end. And the Lord will be doing the preaching. All we're going to do is have a choir saying hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be out of here. This is just a resurrection warm-up, because we're going to the real resurrection when the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. Stand if you would. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, then he'll take me by the hand and lead me to that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Let me describe it to you. There'll be no sorrow there, no more birth. burden us to bear. No more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's sing it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one me too, that promised me. What a day, a glorious day that, let's sing it again. Well, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for being our shepherd. We thank you, Lord, everything you are doing for us, what you've done for us. We love you. We honor you. You care for us. You protect us. You guide us. You direct us. And I love you today. And I thank you today for your love. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord. Brother Swagger ministers to the people. Bless the musicians tonight, Lord. Bless this camp meeting even as we continue it on. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't forget, the doors open at 6. Be back tonight at 6. You still can get here if you're not here. Come now. We still got some days to go. Doors open at 6. Museum on the left and also the bookstore. We thank you for coming out today. We love you so much. We love the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Shake hands and be friendly.
We hope you enjoyed this live Resurrection Camp Meeting service from the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.